It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi again. Welcome to Border Crossings. We're live downtown in Studio 4, and we've got a guest in our studios. Taylor Phelan is on tour for his debut EP. We'll be talking to Taylor, hearing about his music and his story and how he came to D.C. today. All of that's ahead. Stick around. You're listening to Border Crossings. Welcome to Border Crossings. My name's Larry London, and in our studios today, a singer-songwriter who's on tour for his debut EP, Taylor Phelan, is with us here in Washington, D.C., and One of Two is the new album. Congratulations.
It's coming. It's coming. It is.
That's an exciting time to be a musician.
Yeah, it really is. I'm excited to finally have this music out in the world. It's been a long time coming, so... Mm-hmm.
Now, you have been in music for a number of years. I guess you started singing and songwriting when you were about 16?
Yep, yeah. I was about 16. I might have been 15. I think I just round up to 16. But I picked up the guitar when I was 16 and started teaching myself. And I started writing songs right away. I don't know why I did that first, but... I could barely play guitar, and I thought to myself, I should write some stuff. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you were living in Dallas,
where you're from? Yep, I was living north of Dallas, about an hour north of Dallas, My parents still live there. And that's where I graduated from high school, a little town called Sherman, Texas. Mm-hmm.
And then you decided to join a band that was based in Chicago, of all places. How did that come to?
Yeah, so I got a call from a pastor at a church, actually, and he flew me up, and I was 19 at the time, so this was all really exciting, having someone pay for my flight and, you know, bring me to another city. And I hung out with this guy for a weekend, and he ended up offering me a job to come and work for his church and play music there. And so again, very exciting that someone was offering to move me across country, you know. And so I took it as an opportunity to, you know, get out of town and try something new, and that put me in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And and then that was a 2-year long journey to forming my former band, the Canes, and launching my what I like to think is my professional music career in Chicago.
Now, you were when you mentioned you were called there for a job, you were a studio singer. Was that the official title of it?
Yeah, I mean, it was all kind of happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really know what I was like at that time. I was like, I don't really know what music is in my life, and I was trying to figure out. I had never thought about music as a viable career option, you know, like as an occupation, you know.
Sure.
Vocation.
It's more of a hobby.
Yeah, it was just kind of something that I was just trying to figure out where I fit in, mm-hmm. and where it fit into my life. And so I did have my first studio gig in that time, but I wouldn't have referred to myself as like a studio vocalist, you know. Mm-hmm. I was just figuring it out.
Mm. And you lived in a tent? Did I read that right?
I did. It's a kind of a funny story, and it sounds really dramatic.
It does.
You just leave it at that. Like, I lived in a tent for a little bit, but I moved into this guy's house, and I was roommates with him for about 9 months, and he was getting married, and he had told me, he was like, "Man, you got to find a place to live. You got to get out of here.
Backyard.
Yeah, my wife's gonna move in." You know? And the time came, and I couldn't find any place to live within my budget, so I had a pickup truck at the time, naturally, because I moved from Texas, and I go over to Home Depot, and I load it up with some lumber. I go over to Dick's Sporting Goods, and I buy a tent, and the church that I was working at the time had a bunch of land, and so I went out into the woods of the church, the church's land, and I built myself a deck so my tent wouldn't get wet, you know, and I pitched a tent, and I lived there for the summer.
Sounds like a horror movie. It doesn't sound like...
It was kind of scary.
I'm gonna be honest.
I know. It was kind of scary. And looking back at myself, like if I heard about a 21-year-old, you know, who lived in the woods, I'd be like, man, that guy's kind of weird. That's kind of weird.
And you had a campfire and cooked your food, and that's how you existed.
I mean, I wasn't like a typical homeless. Mm-hmm. 20-something. Not that there is a typical homeless 20-something, yeah. But you know what I mean. I had two jobs. I don't even really remember what I did with my time. I worked. And,
very smart move. You saved a lot of money.
Yeah, I saved a bunch of money.
Yeah,
it was great.
Wow.
I would probably do it again. I know Connor would do that.
Oh yeah.
You would love to live in a tent.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I think he wants
dream.
A bed anywhere it is right now, whether it's a
at
tent
this point,
or anywhere.
I'd take anything.
Yeah, right.
So here we are today. The new EP is coming out, and you're on tour, and we're kind of midway through the tour.
Yeah, we are. We've got a week left. Yeah. So we've been out. By the end of it, we'll have been out for 20 days. So we've got about 8 days left before we are all home. Which is about the limit. Like, that's,
right.
I mean, with, you know, like having a family and kids, that's about the, you know, timeline that we put on ourselves. And,
where's home now? Is it Memphis? Is it Dallas?
It's Dallas.
It's
Dallas. North of Dallas.
And you made, or you made the album in Nashville?
In Nashville, yeah.
Okay.
And I play, it's really confusing because all the guys I play with are, we've got two guys from Kansas City, one guy from Nashville, one guy from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I live in, you know, Dallas. So we're literally spread across everywhere. So whenever someone asks where home is, you get a different response depending on who you ask. Yeah. Right.
Well, Taylor Phelan's our guest today, and he's got a new EP coming out. So we're going to ask if you'd do a song for us off the new album.
Yeah, this is a song called this is a song called Mojave, and it's one of the tracks off of One of Two.
In the valley there are bones of men. A lonely death covers the mountain with the bodies set closing them in. A million lights up ahead, like fiery eyes on the devil's head. And we cry, mercy, mercy, in the face of what we both fear. I found the cure, the cure. I'd hate to lose you in the fire down here. I can feel the arrows in the face. It's time to burn, to burn. I hate to lose you while I'm holding you. I can feel your bones shaking. In Mojave there are shallow graves. A wolf led demons to the garden, where the shadows stay in darkened for days. A million mile stretch of sand, the devil came hungry for a second hand. And he took his plenty. So what you both fear, I found the cure, the cure. I'd hate to lose you in the fire down here. I can feel the arrows in the face of what you both fear. And what's left to burn, what you burn. I'd hate to lose you while I'm holding you. I can feel your bones. Face of what we both fear, I found the cure, I'd hate to lose you in the fire down here, but I can feel the arrow. In the face of what we both fear, and what's left to burn, to burn. I'd hate to lose you while I'm holding you, but I can feel your bones shake.
Sounding great. Taylor Phelan's here. I like that. That's very nice.
Yeah, thank you
great
so much.
Great sound. Now, I imagine on the tour, you got a whole big band and, and everything sounds quite different.
Oh,
this
is
the acoustic
paired down. It's 100% different. Wow. It is really different. This is not an accurate representation of what you would see if you came to a show. But it is very it's a good version.
Well, you you sound good. And if you sound good
you.
With the electric guitars, you sound good acoustically, then you sound good. There's no denying that.
Thank you.
Now, growing up in Dallas, was it always music? Is this kind of what you set out to do or just come up accidentally? How did you discover
kind
this business?
Kind of. A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I grew up around in a family of, I would say, you know, musically inclined people, but it was more gospel, mm-hmm. And so it was not uncommon for our family to, around a holiday, like gather around the piano, and for my great aunt to like play the piano and everyone sing, you know, mm-hmm. in four part harmony. You know, that was not a weird thing. That was actually very normal. But I don't think it was never presented to me as, like I said, a profession. It was never like, well, hey, if you practice and if you do this, like, here's mm-hmm. how you do it. I never had, you know, like a, you know, like a famous uncle or something that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like taught me the ropes, you know, showed me the ropes, and taught me about the industry or anything like that. It was really just something that you did because you liked doing mm-hmm. it. And so there was that part. I always say that I kind of grew up with this awareness of music. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until, you know, I was 16 or so where, I think over time just overheard me singing, and they kind of tricked me into singing for them, you know? And the feedback was really positive, quite positive. And so, for the first time, you know, in my life at that point, I thought, I don't know, people seem to like this. Maybe I could do something with it, you know? So it was a little bit of both. I mean, I feel like I did stumble upon it. It wasn't ever something, I wasn't, you know, that 8-year-old who was like practicing my guitar,
you know,
or anything like that. I kind of came into it.
It's kind of interesting to, when you hear a story of somebody who in their, you know, teen years, middle of high school, all of a sudden fall into music because, you know, either you were writing poetry, writing songs for a while, but
yeah.
That's late to just say, hey, look at
yeah.
what I can do.
Well, and I'd always, I'm a creative. I've always been mm-hmm. a, you know, detail-oriented creative person. Mm-hmm. Like even as a kid, even in, you know, English class, you know, mm-hmm. when we're writing a paper, it was like down to the details of like I would scrap a paper that I was halfway, you know, a page of paper that I was halfway through writing if I didn't like the way that my handwriting actually looked on the page, you know
wow.
what I mean? So like even down to like the details of that or art projects or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. I drew a bunch as a kid. I've always liked cooking, you know what I mean?
So you always had the creative
Yeah, yeah.
Bug.
So it wasn't like totally out of nowhere, but mm-hmm. it did feel like I've never thought about it
right.
like this, you know? So it did feel like something, I discovered something new.
Now, you know? How would you describe, I won't say define, because here in the U.S., everybody likes to put somebody in a box or format label. I don't want to label your music, but how would
yeah.
you describe your music, the sounds you create?
Honestly, I'm still, after, you know, 10 years of playing, I'm still trying to mm-hmm. discover that.
Where your
I mean, that's
is.
A conversation that we have often is mm-hmm. like, what is this? What are we, you know, what are we doing and what's the direction? What's the, like defining,
right.
you know, characteristics of this music.
For better or worse, it is a business. And they
yeah,
always ask
yeah.
you, okay, what is your format? You know, where do we put you?
Well, and I mean, the artists that we love, like, I mean, we all love, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a thing there. There's a brand. There's like a, they can define it and say like, we're about this or we're about this. You
right.
know? And so musically, it's tough. I mean, because I've got, I mean, there's a pop flair to it. There's a alternative, you know, indie rock flair. There's some like more soulful moments in mm-hmm. in my voice sometimes, and it's hard to like rein it all in and mm-hmm. figure out a direction. And I'm still figuring that out.
And you
like,
know what?
I don't know.
The good
exactly.
thing about the business now is that people can buy a song, get a song, and
mm-hmm.
you can be country on
yeah,
one
right.
song. You can be R&B on another song.
Yeah.
You can do that. On an album, it's a little harder when you're trying to thread them together
mm-hmm.
to go off.
I
now,
know.
Speaking of albums, this is the debut album. You've had a few years to put the
yep.
ideas, the songs together and work
mm-hmm.
on the album. One of two. What's the story behind the name for that?
It's clever, huh? It's clever.
It's very creative.
It's actually not that exciting when I demystify it. I just couldn't come up with another name.
Okay.
And the entire team had decided to release this in two parts, and so I cleverly named them One of Two and Two of Two. So there's a Two of Two.
Ah,
down the road.
How did
road.
I know that?
Yeah.
And hopefully it will be a full studio album.
Yeah.
Shortly thereafter.
Yeah, there will be, once we release Two of Two, it'll be available as a collection on vinyl.
Great.
That's
everybody's
the idea.
Going that way.
I know.
I still can't find a phonograph player.
Yeah.
But everybody's putting out vinyl, but I can't find a way to play them. But Taylor Phelan's in our studios, and there's a lot to Taylor, and we're going to get into more of it. I mean, he was on television performing for 6 million people every week. And we're going to hear more about that, but I'm going to ask you to do another song.
Yeah,
if you wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, this is another one off of One of Two, and it's a song called Desire.
Felt alive in the desert. I drew a line from your heart, and still I thought we were tethered. But in this city you've drifted apart. It's the will of the ghost light to lead the travelers astray. I'll keep you warm tonight, hold you close in the bed that we've made. This time, you know I'll never let you go again. This time, on our journey towards the sunset, we built a family by the sea, where the land and the water met. We took a chance to listen for what we need. This time, you know I'll never let you go again. This time, this is not what we pray for. So you were looking in the arms of desire. Took a step inside the demon's door, giving in to the passion and fire.
Here we go. Taylor Phelan, he's our guest today. You're tuned in to Border Crossings. And so you and Nikki have two kids.
We do.
And you're working your way through the alphabet. You started with the A's, Addison and Amelia. Like me, my kids are Amanda and Andrew, so I started in the A's.
A's, very good.
Was there a reason for you?
My we don't have very many traditions in my family, but my name's Taylor. My sister's name is Tara. And my other sister's name is Ty.
Ah.
So we started with T's. So when we started having kids, I told Nikki, they all got to start with the same letter.
The beginning of the alphabet. And the girls are young. Do they know what dad does? Do they kind of get it or no?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Addison's four. She's almost four and a half. So I would say in the past year, she's put together that I travel for work, and she's not a huge fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
I try to soften the blow by bringing her back stuff.
Right. Well, bring her with
me. I might be getting myself into trouble because maybe as she gets older, those gifts she might
expensive.
Be expect more and more.
Where's that car you promised me, Dad? So here we are. Every week, you're a popular contestant on a very popular music TV contest reality show here in the United States called The Voice. And all of a sudden, you're best friends with Pharrell and Adam Levine.
Besties.
Which not many artists can say. So there you are on the screen being judged and critiqued and also being given advice. So what was the best advice you got? What gem did you take away among all? And I know you got a lot of advice. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But what would you say, wow, that was a curveball and that really helped?
I always want to have a different answer for because this, you know, sometimes this is asked. I've been asked this before.
No.
And and I always want to have like a clever new response. But honestly, the one that always sticks out to me when this question is asked is, so the episode where I got off the show. If you watch that episode, it's funny because we're all standing on stage and they already start rolling the credits, you know, over the last scene. They're rolling the credits. We're trying to find out our fate. You
right,
know?
Right.
And I end up going home. Me and Mia Furman.
Mm-hmm.
We got off the show, and I don't remember who was saved. I think Chris Jameson. Mm-hmm. It was the one who it was the three of us up there, and he got saved. Anyway, so Chris gets saved. Me and I start heading off stage, and I mean, it just goes black. They were out of time, so
right.
It's live. So it went black, and we're walking off stage, and it was like, okay, so that's it.
That's it.
That's our time here, you know. And I remember Adam hopping out of his chair, and he runs over, you know, as we're walking towards backstage, and he runs over and he stops us, and he was like, "This is the worst part. I really hate this. I hate sending, you know, people home." And you know, and we're like saying goodbyes and stuff like that. But he pulls me aside and he was like, "Listen, this is good for you. You know, you need to go home and you need to be writing a record," implying more than being on the show. I need to go home and I need to be working on music. And so, I feel like that was really encouraging to me to like have that affirmation from Adam that, you know, I need to be creating my own stuff as opposed to, I mean, I had a great time on the show. This is not a bash on the show or like
sure. What
the show does for you at all, but, you know, even more than me being on a show and singing someone else's songs.
Right.
You know, and being wrapped up in the production of a reality television show.
Right.
You know, it's more useful for me to spend my time writing and working on my own music. And I'm not saying that was necessarily the reason that I got off of the show. But again, it was just, it was a solid affirmation for me. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you're one of the rare few contestants on the show where all four of the coaches turn their chairs around for people that don't watch The Voice, and it's around the world in various different forms. But all the coaches are facing the opposite way when you're singing, and if they like your sound, they turn their chair around.
Right.
All four of the judges, you know, Blake and Adam and Gwen Stefani and Pharrell all turned around.
Yeah.
And I know that Gwen, you were one of her favorites.
Yeah.
She told
you. Yeah. I know. That's also hard to be in my position. Can you imagine, like, it's like, you know, picking a flag football team and you got the last four, you know, players lined up against the wall and I'm the captain of the team, and I got to pick between, you know,
right,
these four. I mean, that was a,
and
that
these
was
are
a tough
superstars
decision.
In the business.
Yeah, I know
all of them. Yeah. And Pharrell is one of the most respected producers,
which is why I picked Pharrell. I
mean, yes.
He's the guy that producers go to produce their record.
And know? They also, I mean, there's kind of a little bit of pressure that comes with this now. Now you've done the TV show and you've done well, and you went pretty deep into the you know, eliminations and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The expectations are high, and there's a lot of people that come through these TV shows you never hear from again. They
yeah.
they are really talented people.
Oh yeah,
but you never hear from them again.
Yeah, I know. It's a really complex thing to come out of. It took me about a year, honestly. About a year to recalibrate and to learn. I mean, you're coming off of just such an enormous platform, and the turnover rate. I mean, they have two seasons a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which means they start out. I mean, how many people do they start out with? 30 something or 40? 40 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking 80 contestants come through a year. You know,
wow.
That are seen on TV between blind auditions and the end of, you know, the finale of two seasons. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking 80 contestants a year. The turnover rate is just incredible. And so it took me about a year to learn, like, the people who are interested in you while you're on the show, it doesn't necessarily translate to, like, ticket sales. You know what I mean? Or like, CD sales.
Right.
And it doesn't, you know, just because, you know, there's a town that says, you're famous here, you should come play a show here, you're famous, it doesn't mean that you're going to sell that place.
That's
out.
That's right. It's all relative.
Like that.
Exactly.
It's weird. It's a very strange thing to come off of. You know, you have, like, while you're on the show, you have, like, almost, you know, paparazzi.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you are, like, a superstar.
Yeah, it's like there's this moment
limos
where it's just
and...
everything is so magnified,
mm-hmm.
And then you go home and it's not like that.
Right.
I mean, in some circles it still is, and
mm-hmm.
and the fact that I was on The Voice is still benefiting me greatly, in some circles and in some ways, and you know, you got to learn how to leverage it, you mm-hmm. know.
It's kind of like you're starting over. You know, you
yeah.
have a boost of that, but you still got to climb up that.
Right.
That
yeah.
Hill.
It's not. The show doesn't just
right.
make it happen.
Not an
for
instant.
You know,
fame.
That's not what happens. And you coming off the show, you feel like it does. Even me. And I would say I'm a pretty hard person to, like, fool. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I, like, give in to. Like the fluff of a lot of that kind of stuff, but it really does kind of skew, like, your perspective a little mm-hmm. bit. So
we're talking with Taylor Phelan, who is promoting his brand new debut EP, One of Two, and we're going to ask if you do another song. And I guess this is the debut single. From
yeah,
the
this is the one. This is a song called "Settle Down," and it is the first single off of One of Two. Really, really proud of this song. I had the opportunity to work with a really great director and film a really cool music video for this that I just released a couple weeks back. So that's everywhere online. Pace Magazine actually picked it up and they did the premiere. So that was really great of them. And it's just been received really well. It's probably one of the more message driven songs that I've ever written. And,
can you tell us what the message is?
Yeah. So, it's inspired by our current climate, you know, politically, culturally, just all the stuff. Just I feel like where we are as, I would think that there's a global representation in the song, but I'm American and I have my perspective here, you know, and so
sure.
We were talking a little bit about that. So it's a song about our human nature and the way that we tend to treat one another when there's a disagreement. Like you know, like humans interacting is always a weird, sticky thing, you know, and there's always going to be opposition. And the trouble is that our default mode when there's opposition is to almost dehumanize the person on the other side of that argument. And so Settle Down is kind of a call for us to all just like, it's standing in the middle of all sides, you know, and just saying like, hey, let's, let's like calm down and let's try and honestly do our best to make room for a discussion, conversation.
The voice of reason.
The voice of reason.
All right. So Taylor Phelan and Settle Down here on Border Crossings.
One, two, three, four. In our body there's a core infection, and every time that we choose a side, it weakens the poor connection to our hearts from our minds. We turn our back on our helpless brother, and then define him as a social class. It's human nature to divide each other, 'cause we're all afraid to finish last. And I know it's hard sometimes, but we're making it work. Let's try to see things from the other side. Let's change it up. Or do you want to see how far this goes? We've had enough. All this blown from bound. And let's settle down, settle down. Settle down, settle down. Every kingdom there's a crooked figure that makes it easy to assign the blame. And from the bottom it's an unfair picture, but in the end you see we're all the same. Can you be certain that you do much better? It can't be easy to have all the power. Can we decide not to oppress each other? Or is it bred into the skin of ours? And I know it's hard sometimes. Let's try to see things from the other side. Let's change it up. Or do you want to see how far this goes? We've had enough. All this blow from blow. And let's settle down, settle down. Settle down, settle down. Let's change it up. Or do you want to see how far this goes? We've had enough. All this blow from blow. Let's change it up. Or do you want to see how far this goes? We've had enough. Oh, all this blow from blow. And let's settle down, settle down. Settle down. Settle down.
Taylor Phelan, Settle Down, off the new EP, One of Two. And how can people get that EP, Taylor, if they want to get a copy and they're around the world and don't have a local record store?
August 18th, it will be available, I think, everywhere. I think globally. I mean, everywhere.
iTunes, Apple, Amazon,
iTunes,
everything.
Google Play, Amazon.
How about your website?
All of the other stuff. You know, that's a good question. Yes,
good.
I will say it will at least be able to be found on there. So, yes.
And where do people go to find your website?
TaylorPhelan.com.
And it's spelled?
T-A-Y-L-O-R. P as in Paul. H-E-L-A-N.
Little Irish in that.
Oh, yeah.
P-H-E-L-A-N.
P-H-E-L-A-N.
For the benefit of the worldwide audience, TaylorPhelan.com. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
A pleasure to have you guys. And now Connor can get some sleep.
I know it. Yeah, we're going to go crawl in bed. Take a nap.
Thank you, guys. Come back and see us next time here in D.C.
Yeah, of course. We'd love to.
Our guest is Taylor Phelan. One of Two is the new EP. My name's Larry London. You're listening and watching Border Crossings.
Hey, it's Beyonce, and you're listening to Larry London.
You've been running around, running around, running around, throwing that dirt all on my name. Cause you knew that I knew that I knew that I'd call you up. You've been going around, going around, going around every party in LA. Cause you knew that I knew that I knew that I'd be at one. I know that dress is karma, perfume regret. You got me thinking about when you were mine. Ooh. And now I'm all upon you, what you expect. But you're not coming home with me tonight. You just want attention. Call you up. Baby, now that we're
perfume regret. You got me thinking about when you were mine. And now I'm all up on you, what you expect? But you're not coming home with me tonight. You just want attention.
Crossings and Attention. That is Charlie Puth's new song. That's a request from Mary Buckman in Ghana on 98.1 FM. Charlie Puth in negotiations with ABC TV to join Katy Perry as a judge on another music reality TV show called American Idol that's coming back to ABC in 2018. So we'll see if that works out for Charlie. If they can come to terms, then he'll be sitting at the judge's table. And Charlie is out on tour with Shawn Mendes right now, singing the song Attention and all of his other hits. We also heard a request for a Beyoncé song here on Border Crossings, and the song was Irreplaceable, and it was a bilingual Spanish-English mix for Mesfin Yegezu in Ethiopia. And so thank you very much, Mesfin, for joining us on 102.1 FM, Sheger FM in Ethiopia. I'm Larry London, keeping you company here on Border Crossings. And again, I thank Taylor for coming in, and Taylor Phelan, who gave us some great music. We are going to play a Justin Bieber song and give away a now 63 CD after we listen to this song from Justin Bieber by request for Richard Marinho, who listens to 104.7 FM in Kampala, and this song is called Sorry.
You gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies. I hope I don't run out of time, cause someone call a referee. Cause I just need one more shot, have forgiveness. I know you know that I made those mistakes maybe once or twice. And by once or twice, I mean maybe a couple of hundred times. So let me redeem or redeem on myself tonight. Cause I just need one more shot, second chances. Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? Cause I'm missing more than just your body. Single piece of the blame if you want me to. But you know that there is no innocent one in this game for two. I go, and then you go out and spill the truth. But can we both say the words and forget this? Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? Cause I'm missing more than just your body. Oh. Is it too late now to say sorry? Yeah, I know that I let you down. Is it too late to say I'm sorry now? I'm not just trying to get you back on me. Yeah.
that's one for all the Beliebers around the world tuned into Border Crossings. It's Justin Bieber, and that is called Sorry. And Justin has nothing to be sorry about as far as his latest song is concerned. Despacito with Daddy Yankee and Luis Fonsi is the most streamed song of all time. 4.6 million streams, the most viewed video of all time with over 3 billion views. So there you are for Justin Bieber fans. I also want to say hello to Barry Mamadou Adama, who is trying to hear us in Freetown, Sierra Leone right now. Unfortunately, he said there is reception issues. And I know I'm getting this a lot from people in Sierra Leone that the signal is there, but it's, well, as Barry describes it, broken. It's not sounding clear or good. So what I need is, you know, our engineering department wants to fix this problem. And they've asked me to ask you for more information. When you guys say it's not clear or it's not, it's broken, what do you mean? Give me more detail so I can pass that along to the technical department so they can correct it so that we are on loud and clear in Freetown, Sierra Leone, because you guys are important to us and we want to be heard loud and clear. I want to say hello to Benny Eximius, Rahel Mesfin. We got from Mikhail in Russia checked in, Kaveh Mad, Brian Cabasso in Zambia. Vincent Maloba is with us, and he's in Kenya. So thank you in Kenya. Hopefully we get the election results there resolved. I hear they're still counting votes. We also heard from Amon Amarth, Asante Emmanuel, McSamuel Amowis, Sawalu England geographer, Pre Jack, Caroline Marie Etienne Habu Magisha, Srini Vassan, a longtime listener, is back with us. Charles Borromeo, thank you, everybody, for checking us out at facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Time for our CD giveaway right now. And before I go, I've got a Now 63 CD to give away to a lucky listener of the day. And today's lucky listener of the day is Ephraim Tsege in Ethiopia. Ephraim, thank you very much for listening to us on Shegar FM 102.1. And I congratulate you on winning the Now 63 CD and being named our listener of the day for today. I'm Larry London here on Border Crossings, and we'll be back tomorrow at 1500 Universal with more requests and dedications. Another Now 63 CD giveaway. We're doing it all throughout August. Please tell your friends and have them join us. Enter the contest at facebook.com/VOA Larry London, and we'll put you in the contest, and maybe you'll be selected and win the Now 63 CD. Thank you, Wagner, our engineer, Vince, our director, Markel, our producer today. And again, thank you to Taylor, who joined us today to promote his new music, Taylor Phelan, and his EP, One of Two. My name is Larry London. Have a great night. See you tomorrow on Border Crossings. This is the VOA One Music Network.